The phrase, zeal for your house, is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse 9, and again in the book of John 2:17. That phrase is also the title of Brother David Johnson's sermon on this weekly program from Words of Life. Today, you are listening to an archived Words of Life program. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus. We appreciate your prayers for this effort. We now worship our Lord with song.
Earth holds no treasures, but perish with using. However precious they be, yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds
gently home.
Lead me gently home.
when my troubles come. Keep my feet from wandering, lest from thee I roam, lest I fall upon the wayside, lead me gently home. Lead me gently home. Lead me gently, gently home.
Father, it is through the power of the Savior, Jesus, that we come to you in prayer. We are truly thankful for all of your blessings, and we praise your holy name. Please bless all efforts that are offered for you. Especially provide encouragement for the persecuted, strengthen their faith, and help them to know that everything is from you. Some of our listeners are troubled with guilt of sin and personal difficulties or health issues. We ask that you will be with each of them and bless as needed. Please help us to be listening today to the sermon and to understand what your word is. And Lord, help us to be ready for the promised time when Jesus will come for his church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using John 2:13-17, we will now hear an archived sermon by Brother David Johnson entitled, Zeal for Your House.
It's a great privilege to be able to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Zeal for Your House. And the text is in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13-17. Please listen to the Word of God. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." This is the word of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of his word. None other than Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, stated these words, quote, "Anyone can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not easy." End quote. So, in our study text, one man, Jesus Christ, was able to accomplish this perfectly. Probably numerous times. Let's look into the text more closely. John chapter 2 and verse 13 says in part, "Almost time for the Jewish Passover." Jewish families from all over the Roman world traveled to Jerusalem to attend this, the greatest of Jewish feasts. Every Jewish male over 12 years of age was expected to keep the Passover. Pious Jews the world over today still keep this Jewish feast. Jerusalem is still crowded with Jewish pilgrims and worshipers. Verse 14, "In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money." Jerusalem at this time in the first century AD, it is estimated, had a normal population of about 50,000 people. However, at Passover time, the population would swell fivefold to about 250,000. So this was a business bonanza. Profiteering was at its peak, especially profit from pilgrims, out-of-towners. Price gouging was rampant to purchase acceptable animals for their ritualistic sacrifices. And this is still true today. Have you ever been to Florida during spring break and noticed the hotel prices inflated and perhaps even other costs? Or any kind of celebration usually causes price gouging. Human character, human ideas concerning profiteering hasn't changed over the centuries. The original Greek for temple courts indicates that this selling and exchanging money was in the outer courts of the temple. Actually, what was the court of the Gentiles, an area supposed to be set aside for non-Jews, proselyte Jews perhaps, to pray, to meditate, to congregate in homage and honor of the one true God of Israel. But this was not a quiet, tranquil, clean place for prayer. Instead, quite the opposite. It was noisy, commercialized, smelly and dirty. Have you ever been to a 4-H animal arena? Or the stalls where the animals were kept at a state or county fair? It can be rather stinky. And of course, you have to watch where you step. These pilgrims had to pay for live animals, and even, of course, the locals, for their sacrificial offerings of these animals. They had to pay for live animals to be sacrificed. They had to pay the temple animal inspectors their fees to approve unblemished, appropriate sacrificial animals. Animal blood sacrifices were required for sin. Therefore, blood offerings plus thanksgiving offerings, even for their safe travel. Also, there was a lot of bargaining and arguing and haggling over sacrificial, unblemished fitness of animals and prices of animals. So there was a lot of fleecing going on, fleecing of people, not sheep. The animal sellers and the inspectors basically had a monopoly business at inflated prices with little or no outside competition. For example, today, have you ever been to an airport and had to lay over and didn't have anything to eat or drink, so you had to resort to airport food at their prices? Did those prices make you angry? Have you ever been to an airport or perhaps even other places in the larger cities where when you went into the restroom, they had only pay toilets and you had to have change to even be able to get into the toilets? Would that have made you angry? Certainly it did me when I had to resort to these situations. Meanwhile, the cattle, the oxen were bellowing, the sheep were bleating, the doves cooing, and they had to be careful where they stepped. Plus, imagine the human and animal stench, the flies, the gnats, the heat. Are you getting the picture? This was not a quiet place for prayer. Plus, there was the exchanging of money. Because, you see, Jews needed to pay the annual temple tax for the upkeep and to keep up the regular animal sacrificial system. Every Jewish male age 20 and older had to pay this tax, primarily in Jewish coinage of a 1/2 shekel, equivalent to about 2 days manual labor wages. Yet pilgrims, in particular, came to Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire. And for example, they had coins from Rome, from Greece, from Egypt, or Persia, all of which were considered unclean, unsuitable for the Jewish temple treasury. Also, Jewish shekels had a higher purity of silver. Of course, this was also big business for profit, too. Scalping was rampant. Money changers charged a fee, usually inflated, to change all unsuitable foreign coinage to proper Jewish shekels. And then there were also the money lenders. For all of these business transactions, and again, lending of money at a high interest fee. There were also the issuance of money drafts for an additional fee, and also the weighing of coins in disputes for an additional fee. So it was fee after fee. These outer courts were not set aside for Gentiles, not for prayer, not for pious Jews, but for the unscrupulous profiteering. And Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, in his Father's house, was angry, really red hot angry. How angry? Consider the Gospel of John, chapter 2, and verse 15. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Imagine our meek and humble Jesus with a whip in his hand, chasing out all the livestock, probably those preying on the pilgrims also. When the holiness of God and the sacredness of God's house and worship and prayer were at stake, Jesus Christ took a fast and furious stance. He moved into action, but it was also a measured action. There is no indication whatsoever that Jesus Christ struck anyone, nor caused a riot or such a commotion that Roman soldiers had to be called or respond. Christ was forceful, but still under control. It was perfect, appropriate, righteous indignation and anger. John chapter 2 and verse 16. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" Why didn't Jesus toss the doves also? Christ did not, even in his anger, again under complete control, cause anyone to lose property. And so these live doves, presumably in cages, are certainly more fragile creatures. And if the cages opened as they were thrown, they could have flown away. But Christ did not throw them. He told them to get them out of here. That is, cage and all. Christ was in complete control of his emotions. This incident was another of the Apostle John's demonstrations of Jesus' deity, his divinity, as he revealed his perfect passion for the reverence of God the Father. And, of course, Jesus of Nazareth is the unique, one and only begotten Son of God. He said, "My Father's house," as the unique Son of God. His deity is further revealed in that only God has the right and the authority to regulate worship and prayer. And this was a place, the temple courts, a place for worship and prayer. And regarding Christ, consider the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 15. Written to the Hebrews. It says in part, "We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." So obviously, all anger is not sin, because the scripture is very clear. Jesus Christ was angry. But all anger is not sin, since he never sinned. There is anger that amounts to righteous indignation, which Christ perfectly exercised here. We today, as believers, possibly could have righteous anger. For example, the inhumanity and callousness of a terrorist suicide bomber who murders innocents, including the aged, the disabled, women, and children. A youngster was asked once, "What do you think righteous anger is?" And this youngster answered, "I think it's getting really, really mad, but not cussing." Sinful anger means to lose self-control, lose it in our minds, in our words, or deeds. A real temper tantrum with rage and hostility, or even being unnecessarily provoked to anger. However, Christ was angry at the right persons, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way. Perfect, righteous anger. By application today, for you and I in the church age, our church house, our church buildings, our chapels are also set aside as sacred places for prayer and for worship and for the things of God, and they should not be used inappropriately for profiteering, commercialization, or what have you along these lines. I remember many, many years ago visiting a church building. It was a rather large mega church, and they had a huge greeting area, foyer, and they actually had, in this church building, one of these racing cars, a NASCAR racing car, in the foyer, inside the building, in the vestibule, in the greeting area. Obviously, it was there to promote, you know, interest in coming to the building, I suppose. And perhaps it was some kind of a fundraiser. I don't recall the exact reasons, but it just didn't seem right to me to have a racing car inside of the church building for whatever reason. It was out of place. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "His disciples remembered that it is written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.'" This quoted from Psalm 69 in verse 9. Do you know that had Jesus Christ ignored or condoned rather than condemned the desecration of God's house, he would have sinned, but he did not condone it. He had righteous indignation over the misuse, the desecration of God's house. So we also should have righteous indignation for any irreverence toward God or his place of worship or against his people. Christ was meek, but he was not weak. We should be of the same mindset, have zeal for the Lord, zeal for his house, zeal for the things of God. May this be true of each of us.
Father, hear the prayer we offer, nor for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may still waters, would we idly quiet stay, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along our way. Be our strength in hours of death.
never failure, danger. Father, be thou at our side. Let our path be bright or dreary, storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer.
In a typical Church of Christ service, the song that we last heard would be considered an invitation song, encouraging those who need to come to Jesus. If you're not yet a Christian, we encourage you to give your life to Jesus and receive His salvation. You need to find a good Bible-following church to help you in making your salvation decision. If we can help you, please contact us. To receive a free recording of this program, request broadcast 2245. That's 2245. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing now.